Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I hope you're doing well. As for me, I'm just excited to be with you today as we begin our second series. Last week, we got into Series 1. Series 1 was based on a text in the book of Proverbs that was written by King Solomon. That text was found in Proverbs 10:9, and it read like this: "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." So last week, I talked to you about walking uprightly in 2023. This week, series number two, I want to come from a text found in the book of Psalms. To be exact, Psalm 84:11. This week's text comes from Solomon's father, King David. And I'm going to read to you from three different translations: the King James, the Common English Bible, and the Revised English Bible. Psalm 84:11 reads like this from the King James translation: "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And I just played an introductory song that sung this particular text, the way it appears here in the King James Version. Now, the Common English Bible reads like this: "The Lord is a sun and shield. God is favor and glory. The Lord gives, doesn't withhold, good things to those who walk in or with integrity." The King James says, "Walk uprightly." The Common English Bible has it, "Walk with integrity," to those who walk with integrity. The Revised English Bible reads like this: "The Lord God is a sun and shield. Grace and honor are his to bestow. The Lord withholds no good thing from those whose life is blameless." Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name. We glorify you today as we draw near to your table, again, to be fed of your marvelous manna from heaven. We thank you, Lord, for this text. We pray, Lord, that you would open this text to us. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. Give us insight. That we may grow thereby, that our faith may be increased, that we indeed may walk in integrity. Bless us, O God, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Holy Spirit, we yield our hearts to you, that you may mold our hearts. We yield our minds to you that you may give us understanding. We give our wills to you that you may bend it in conformity to the will of God. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you. Mold us, change us, transform us, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. The title of this series is Divine Benefits of Walking Uprightly in 2023. We're in the year 2023. And we know what walking uprightly is. To walk uprightly is to walk according to the Word of God. It is to keep God's commandments in our daily living. And the exercise of our daily will. To walk uprightly is to do that which is right in the sight of God. It may be wrong in the sight of man, but it is right in the sight of God. That's what it means to walk uprightly. To do, to say, to behave the way that God would have us. Now, there are benefits to walking uprightly, as this text will reveal to us in our sessions together. There are benefits. Not human benefits, because human benefits are limited. There are many people in this country, and by the way, this is a blessed country. The people who live in this country are far more blessed than people who live in other countries. I can tell you. In this country, you hit a certain age, you hit the age of retirement, and your retirement benefits kick in. You are eligible for retirement benefits when you hit a certain age, when you're no longer able to work, when your body is so broken that you can no longer work. It has been so set up by this government to provide retirement benefits. Those are human benefits. Benefits prepared by humans for humans. But whenever we talk about human benefits, there are limitations. The government can only help you with so much. And then after that, you're on your own. The government can only project to give you so much, can only to give you so much. And then at a certain point, that's it. You can go to the office and you can say, listen, I need more. And they'll say to you, well, you're not eligible for more. They may say to you, you may have to move in with someone in order for the two of you to combine your resources and stretch them, and perhaps if you live with someone, if you move in with a sibling who's in the same predicament, same dilemma that you are, maybe perhaps the two of you can pull your resources and make the rent or make the mortgage or make the electricity bill payment. So human benefits are limited, but not divine benefits. Oh, no, no, no. See, I'm talking to you today about divine benefits. Divine benefits, benefits that come from God. Why are those benefits so important? Because God has unlimited resources. First of all, God is unlimited in power. God can get to you what you need when you need it. Nothing can stop God. Listen, God provides no excuses to his children. You know, you may go down to the office and say, well, you know, I called and I was told by a social worker that I was entitled to this. These are my entitlements. And when you go down to the office, you say, well, you spoke to someone who gave you the wrong information. My brothers and sisters, the Bible doesn't lie. God speaks of benefits. And he's a God of unlimited power and unlimited resources. Therefore, there are divine benefits of walking uprightly, not only in 2023, but for the remainder of your life, for the remainder of your existence. Now, we're focused on 2023 because what's the use of focusing on 2024, 2025? We're not there yet. We need to focus on the present. This is the now and the present. So we're focusing on 2023. We want to take one day at a time, and then after taking one day at a time, we would have lived a week, and after you take a few weeks, then you lived a month, and after a few months, you've lived a year. So we're going to take this one day at a time. Divine benefits of walking uprightly in 2023. So the text says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So, page number two. As we talk about two of the benefits today, what are the two benefits? What are the two benefits that stand out in today's lesson? Well, the first one is, the Lord God is a sun. That's benefit number one. And the second benefit is that he is a shield. Who is he a sun for? And who is he a shield for? To them who walk uprightly. Now let's talk about the sun for a moment. Let's talk about a sun. Not that God is the sun. No, he's not the sun. We don't worship celestial bodies. You know, the pagans of antiquity, like the Canaanites, they served Baal. And the Canaanites believed that Baal was whom? The sun. They worshiped the sun. They were sun worshipers, pretty much like the Egyptians were sun worshipers. You look at an Egyptian obelisk, that long, pointy stone structure that they have is called an obelisk, and the obelisk at the end of it has a point, and it's pointing to the sun god, Amun-Ra. They worship the sun. Their god was the sun. Well, David isn't saying that God is the sun. God is likened to the sun. He is a sun. In what sense? Well, we know today that we know scientifically today, this is a scientific fact, the sun disinfects. You want to disinfect something, expose it to the sun. You want something to be revitalized, expose it to the sun. You want something to grow, like expose it to the sun. So you can disinfect things with the sun. You can revitalize things with the sun. You can cause things to grow if you expose them to the sun. But in what sense is God a benefit to us when he is likened to the sun? Well, here it is. Here's the first benefit. The sun always exposes plans crafted in darkness. Think about that for a moment. Satan is the prince of darkness. Satan is the leader of the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is opposed to the kingdom of light. And these are two opposing forces, two opposing armies, two opposing generals, God versus Satan, light versus darkness. So one of the benefits of the sun is it exposes your enemies. And, you know, when the sun is out, you can see a whole lot. When the sun is not around, when it's dark at night, you can see very little. So one of the benefits of having God as your sun is he allows you to see who is about to attack you. That's the first thing. You know, you go into a building. What's the first thing you do? If you are traveling and you have booked a hotel room and you go to the desk and you say to the concierge, I've registered here at the hotel and this is my confirmation number and I would like to get my room, and they go to the computer and they type in your information, and they'll say, we have your credit card and your license, and they take your information and you make the payment, and the concierge says, here are two pass keys to your room. Well, the moment you open your room, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the lights. Why do you turn on the lights? Because you want to make sure the coast is clear. You want to make sure that everything is what? Kosher. You want to make sure that everything is all right in the room. No one likes to abide in darkness. This is why you have National Grid. National Grid is a company. What does National Grid do? Does National Grid provide darkness? No. The main business of National Grid is to provide light. Light provides a great advantage. It allows you to see. Your car has lights. Your vehicle has lights so that when you're driving at night, you put on your lights. If your lights are not operational and you pass a police officer, he'll pull you over and give you a ticket. Why? Because it's hazardous to be driving at night without your lights. So God is what? Our great light. He exposes the dangers that lurk in the darkness. The Lord God is a sun. He exposes every plan crafted by Satan against you. He is what? He is a sun. Now, why is this text so important? Why this terminology by the author David? Well, if you look at your notes there, Psalm 84 was a psalm that was written by David when he was inspired by God, when he was fleeing from his rebel son, Prince Absalom. His son Absalom, David's son, was full of the devil, and he wanted to kill his father. He wanted to cut his father down, and he wanted to sit on his father's throne. And to do that, he had to kill his dad. And this whole ugly episode recorded in five chapters in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. When you read these five chapters, you will see how wicked Absalom was, how full of the devil he was, how Absalom plotted in darkness against his father to cut his father down and to take the kingdom. So David writes, my God is a sun for me. He has exposed, my God is a sun. He has exposed the plans of the enemy. He has revealed to me the plans of my rebel son, who at this stage is so full of hatred, so full of animosity, so full of evil that he would even kill his own loving father just to take a throne. So David says, the Lord is a son. God has revealed to me. God has exposed the plans of the enemy. God, listen, when God exposes, he gives you a heads up. When God exposes, he gives you intel that will allow you to make moves that will thwart the enemy's plans against you. You have a leg up. You have information that the enemy doesn't know you have. And that's because God has shed light on the situation. God has revealed the hidden things planned in darkness, the hidden things planned in secrecy. God, again, what does he do? He exposes. He exposes plans crafted in secrecy and in darkness. And not just plans crafted in secrecy and in darkness, but plans to be carried out by scheduled attacks at night. That's right. When does Satan love to attack? He loves to attack at night. That's when Satan loves to attack. Satan loves to attack when visibility is not very good. Satan loves to attack when we're sleepy. This is why rapists and thieves and robbers creep into people's houses at night. People are asleep. People are tired. People are not at their best at night. People are worn out at night. People are not as sensitive to noise where they're in a deep sleep. So that's when the enemy loves to attack, at night. And this is why so many homes now have these sensory lights. You know, if you pass by somebody's house, they have these lights by their garage. They have these lights by the door that just come on. And you thought the place had no lights and you thought the place was completely dark. And you pass by and the motion sensors pick up your body, pick up your movement, and the lights automatically come on. Why is that? Well, again, because people who mean evil, mean to do evil, come at night. As soon as the lights come on, as soon as all those lights come on and they come on in a row, what does the robber do? He moves on to the next house that doesn't have lights. That's what they do. So the Lord God, the Lord your God, is protecting you. He is a son. He's a son. Now, turn to Psalm 91. Turn with me to Psalm 91, because Psalm 91, verse 5, will transition us to the next thing God is. Psalm 91, verse 5 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by what? By night. You won't be afraid of the terror by night. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Notice two things here in the text. The psalmist says, listen, you don't need to be afraid of Satan's attacks at night because God is what? A son. As soon as the enemy shows up to do you harm at night, God will go to work and expose him. He is a son. But also, you don't need to be afraid of the arrow that flies by day because God is not only a son, he is a shield. Isn't the word of God amazing? See, this is your second benefit. Your second benefit is that God is your shield. Movie stars and people with money, wealthy people, billionaires and athletes and movie stars and people with crazy money have bodyguards. They have an entourage. They have people who protect them. There's even some bishops in the church, clergy in the church, even the Pope. and others of like ilk who have their bodyguards. The Queen of England used that, she passed away, but now Prince Charles, her son, has bodyguards. Listen, you have the greatest bodyguard. The Lord is not only your son, he is also your shield. In Genesis 15, let's go to Genesis 15. This is what God said to Abraham. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield." You see, in chapter 14, Abraham had had a great victory over five invading kings. And after the great victory, Abraham became fearful, thinking that they would recuperate themselves and attack him. And God says to him, don't worry about them. You beat them once, they're not coming back. And if they do, I am your shield. They won't be able to hurt you because I am your protector. That's who I am, Abraham. I'm your shield. Nothing Satan lobs your way will hurt you. In Genesis 49, let's go to Genesis 49, verse 23, Jacob, on his deathbed, prophetically to his son Joseph, said this, "The archers," notice, archers are in plural, "the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him." Listen, Jacob says to Joseph, I know what it is to be God's elect. I know what it is to be a man of God. Satan and all of his forces will come against you like archers. Satan's ministers will shoot arrows at you. They will sorely grieve you, and they are full of hatred. They won't hurt you. Was Joseph ever hurt? No. Was Joseph, the son of Jacob, ever cut down? Never. Why? God was his shield. Now, that doesn't mean that the archers didn't try. That doesn't mean that the archers didn't let their arrows go. That doesn't mean that the archers did not take aim. It does not mean that the archers did not hunt them down. But taking aim and hunting down and letting your arrow go doesn't necessarily mean you make the kill. You don't make the kill because God is the shield. He's the shield. Now, think of our poor president, John F. Kennedy Jr. Boy, did the archers really do him in. The archers. You see, my brothers and sisters, there are archers in life. There are archers. Think of President Lincoln, who was at a theater watching a play. Unbeknown to him, an archer came behind him and shot him in the head. Oh, my brothers and sisters, life is full of archers. But God says to his children, don't worry. I am your what? I am your shield. You know, I know I'm speaking to many hunters on this broadcast. There are male and female hunters, people who take aim at deer, wild turkey, rabbits, and even bears. And unbeknown to the poor deers and the poor turkeys and the poor rabbits, who don't even see it coming, don't even realize that the bullet is coming. But there goes the archers. The archers shoot, hit the target, the deer goes down, the turkey goes down, the rabbit goes down, and in the pot they go because they had no shield. But that's not you. That's not I. In 2023, the Lord God is your son, and he is your shield. He will expose every plan of Satan for your life and bring it to naught. And he will cause the archers not to hurt you, because he will be your protective shield. He has pledged to be the bodyguard of those who walk uprightly. I'll be back tomorrow to continue with benefit 3 and 4. Benefit 3 and 4 is this: God gives. What does he give? Well, he gives grace and glory in abundance. This is what God gives to his children: grace and glory. Are you walking uprightly? Then you can expect God to give you grace and glory. God bless you, saints.